Welcome to the All Saints Community Church Weekly Sermon Podcast.
We are a community of worship and formation on mission with Jesus.
We are committed to being rooted in the scriptures and the historic Christian faith and to kingdom life in the power of the Holy Spirit.
As you listen, may you be encouraged and empowered to know the Lord Jesus and make him known.
For more information on who we are, visit allsaintsokc.org or follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at ASCCOKC.
All right. Those are images from Scripture too, aren't they? You think about beginning in the Old Testament when God showed up, things shook. Mountains shook and trembled. There's divine presence and divine earthquake, and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So thank you for sharing that. All right, we are going to take a few minutes here, and we're going to look at internalizing Easter. Internalizing Easter. And by that, I mean absorbing it, applying it, letting the truth of Easter shape your life. It is one day out of the year that we celebrate, but friends, the other 364 days are meant to be infused with Easter. Amen? Easter is a way of life. The cross, the resurrection of Jesus, the fact that he is risen changes everything for us. It's a day of great joy. Can you imagine not celebrating the fullness of this day, what this day means? Can you imagine that? Let's just dumb it down a little bit. Let's dial it back. Some of you probably heard the story that made the rounds this week, even in the mainstream media, about the church who chose to leave out certain words in their communications and invites with other people. Words like the blood of Jesus or Calvary or resurrection. Why did they do that? Because they didn't want people to feel like outsiders. And friends, I'm here to tell you today, we're all outsiders. We're all outsiders. We're all outside of the presence of God, stuck in our sin without the mercy of Jesus. And so if you're coming today, obviously we are talking about the blood of Christ. And we're talking about Calvary, the place where he was crucified. And we're talking about the resurrection unapologetically, because we are all outsiders. And we're all reaching out to God through Christ in faith. And that's how salvation comes, right? It would not be church without fully celebrating this day. And what we're learning as a church here is that there are a few different ways of doing church. And one is that you make everybody feel comfortable. You don't say anything that might offend someone. Ooh, I don't want to say that because they might not come back. And we are learning that we want to be welcoming and kind and gracious and hospitable, but at the same time, we want Christ here. He's the one that we're welcoming. Each time we come together, we're like, Jesus, through your Spirit, would you be among us? And therefore, we read the scriptures and do our best to try to follow their teachings as we try to be the church in the world. And that is true for Easter. We want to be a radical, cross-centered, Christ-centered community. Is that right, All Saints? And you know what? That is what the world is looking for. The world is not looking for a nice, cozy, friendly, lukewarm church. I think in this hour, people, we baptized a couple of them this morning. Those guys are not looking for a warm and fuzzy church. Elijah and Joey said, we want to be with radical people. We want to be somewhere where the blood of Christ is spoken of, where the gospel is presented, where the power of the kingdom is, where they pray for the sick and cast out demons, just like Jesus said, for the church to do for all time. So today, let's look here at what it means to internalize Easter. Why don't you look in your Bibles at 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to look at several verses here in this chapter that's about the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. And if you are here or you're considering being a part of this community, I encourage you to bring your Bible. We have slides up here, but we're old school. Having a physical Bible that you spend time in every day is important. Sometimes this stuff goes down, too. So if you're using your digital Bible and stuff, you may be out of luck. If you need a Bible, come up and talk to somebody during ministry time. We will get you a Bible. We'll make sure that you have the Word of God in your hands so that you can begin reading the Scriptures tonight, tomorrow, each day. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 8. And then I'm going to also read 12 to 20. It's a longer passage, but I want you to do your best and stay with me as I read this, because Paul is laying out the foundation of our faith as Christians. And a reminder here for those of us who need to hear about Paul's story, he was a Christ hater. He persecuted Christians. He hunted them down and put them in prison. And he condoned the martyrdom of Stephen and others. This guy was a radical opponent of Christ, and he met Jesus on the road, and his life was forever changed. And this is him years later writing and reflecting on the foundation of our faith. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 8. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. So Paul is saying here, the good news that he received from Jesus is straightforward and simple, isn't it? It's the promise that was made in the Old Testament Scriptures that the Messiah would come. They waited for him for hundreds of years. The prophet Isaiah spoke of him 800 years before he came, and Christ came and fulfilled all of those promises. Paul says in this section that some people began to question the resurrection. So I'm going to read on in verses 12 and following here, 12 through 20. And I want you to listen to that some were kind of drifting from the idea of a physical resurrection of Jesus. At verse 12 here, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. Verse 16, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But look at verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. So friends, some in the early church were denying that the resurrection of the human body could occur. They were probably influenced by some of the philosophy of the day. Plato, a famous philosopher, talked about how evil the body was and how we needed to escape it. And so the teachings of Scripture said, no, 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 our bodies are given to us. Beginning with Christ and his resurrection, he is the type of resurrection that we will have one day. He's going as the forerunner, the first fruits, and we will follow those believers in him. Friends, something happened to these early believers. The notion that it was a fantasy or a fabrication, that the resurrection, they came and stole his body away. These things are false. Christ rose from the dead physically, and the Roman Empire and the soldiers were actually used there to authenticate, to verify the resurrection of Jesus. They guarded his tomb, they sealed it, and Christ burst forth from that tomb that was guarded heavily, so that we have a testimony for the ages that Christ literally, in his physical body, died and was raised on the third day. And these guys went on, 11 of the disciples went on to die martyrs' deaths. Do you think they're going to do that for a lie? Do that because it was a good idea that Jesus might raise, or that they stole his body away? Friends, he rose from the dead, he appeared to them, and they went on fire into the nations of the world to make disciples and plant churches. And here we sit 2,000 years later. A second passage, let's look at Romans 6, 1-8 quickly here. So as we internalize Easter, we see that it's a way of life, it's our foundation. Romans 6 explains that we actually embody the crucifixion and the resurrection. We live it. Look at Romans 6, 1-8. I referenced this earlier. We love to read passages like this because it washes over us. The early church would do this. Paul said to Timothy, do not back off of reading Scripture publicly. It's a good thing. They would read entire chapters, entire books of the Bible as they gathered together. So Romans 6, 1-8. Again, the Apostle Paul says this, what then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. At verse 5 here, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Friends, in baptism, we are baptized into the death of Christ. Those three guys today, as we said, were united with Christ. They went under the baptismal waters and came up a new person, leaving that behind. Last Sunday, we were talking after church. I was speaking with Joey and Elijah about getting baptized, and John Mode made his way over there and told us his baptism story. And he said, you know what? I left the old me behind in the water. That's what baptism is, friends. We're going to be baptizing people in the coming days who have stories, who have backgrounds, who have scars, who have guilt and shame. And through baptism, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you're washed and made new. You die with Christ in a mysterious yet real way, and you are raised to new life, and then you get to live the rest of your life into your baptism. A couple of days ago, was reminded of a baptism story. And I went to seminary in Chicago, and the AIDS epidemic in the mid-90s was exploding. And some of us at our church, the Evanston Vineyard, began to go to an AIDS hospice on the North Shore of Chicago. And we literally set up a shop, a salvation shop, on the gates of hell. We set up shop there. These were men and women who had AIDS, and they were dying, and they were usually weeks away from meeting their maker. And so we went, and oftentimes they were totally ostracized. Their family dropped them. No one was visiting them. And we would go and touch them and hold hands with them and talk with them about Jesus. And some of them were open and some were not. My friend and I, Rand, it was his name, we walked into a room one day and we encountered a young man in his late 20s named Lorenzo. I'll never forget it. Lorenzo was sitting there. I couldn't tell at first, is he a man or a woman? I couldn't tell. He had a large hairpiece in his hair. And we said, we're here as Christians. Lorenzo, could we talk with you? And he said, yes. He said, I'm glad you came. And he was emaciated. He looked like a living skeleton. He probably weighed 85 pounds. And he was within weeks of dying. And we learned that he was a cross-dresser, and that's why he had his hairpiece, and that he had walked the streets of Chicago and lived probably 10 different lives by the time he was in this deathbed. And so as we began to talk to him, he said, I want to give my life to Jesus. And we said to him, you know what, Lorenzo, all the things that you've done and you've been involved in, Christ can remove all of that. You can die to the old ways and become new through faith in Christ. And then we told him about the thieves that were next to Christ on the cross, and that one of them called out to Jesus in his final moments of his life. And Jesus said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. And so Lorenzo said, that is what I want to do. I want to put my faith in Jesus. And then he asked us, can I get baptized? And we said, yes. And then we left the room and said, how in the world do we do this? How in the world do we baptize a man on his deathbed? And we said, we'll arrange it. We'll be back next week and we will baptize you. And so we lingered with him and talked with him and looked at the scriptures, and he made a profession. He said, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I repent from my old ways. And he said, I want to take my hairpiece out and I want to be the man that God created me to be. And so we helped him remove his hairpiece. He was born again, friends, in that moment. And so we went back the next week. We had been talking, coordinating with the nurses to make sure that we had a week. And they said, I think you've got about 3 weeks. So we went back the next week and we baptized him. And you know what? Lorenzo is in heaven with the Lord Jesus, and we'll get to see him again. And you could just see it. You could see he was born again, and in his final moments of life, the Lord prepared him to meet him face to face. So friends, there's nothing that can separate us from God. Our sin, to various degrees, some of us have been in the darkness longer, some of us have done things to ourselves, to our bodies, but there is salvation in Christ Jesus alone. And it's as simple as calling out to him, like some of the folks did earlier today, and saying, I believe that you are Lord. I believe that you alone save. And I repent. I turn from my old way of life, and I reach out to you in faith, and I receive the grace of God. It's as simple as that, but as we say around here, it costs you your life. If you pray that prayer, then you are putting yourself on the pathway for the rest of your life to follow Jesus, to serve him, to share the gospel, the good news, with other people that you've encountered. Okay, lastly here, before we take communion together, internalizing Easter means that The resurrection, the cross of Christ, these are the powers that transform us. Look at Romans 8, 10 through 15. We'll end with this. The power of the cross, the power of the resurrection. These things change us for the rest of our lives. Romans 8. And can you give me just a couple extra minutes? Is that okay? We're kind of hardcore about being on time, but we good? Thank you. Romans 8, 10 to 15. Listen for the resurrection power of God that is at work in Christ's followers. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Look at this beautiful verse here. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption when we cry, Abba, Father. So friends, this tells us here that the very Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead comes and indwells those who profess faith in Jesus. It's the good news. Why don't we stand up, church? The cross, the resurrection, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of Jesus. It's not only the way in to faith, into the kingdom, but it's the way on. If you are a follower of Jesus, he fills you with his Spirit and transforms you day by day. Now let me ask, how easy is that? How easy is it to walk with Jesus and live a life of victory over sin? It's a challenge, isn't it? I share with you, I battle every day, every week. I've looked for vacation mode and I have not been able to find it. We are in battle. And so when Paul says that in Romans 8, he puts his Spirit in you so that you can do battle. You can fight the passions at work with it. You can fight sin, but you can overcome. Is that right, church? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by his Spirit in us. I'm going to ask the servers to come up. We're going to take communion together.